could get more land into private ownership, I would do it in a heartbeat.
New legislation once again aims to compensate landless natives in Haines and throughout Southeast, and local, rural, and native communities speak out to save representation in the redistricting process. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Plans to redraw the state's political boundaries are beginning to take shape as those in charge of the work consider public testimony. The most recent variety of sketches have Haines, Skagway, and other small Southeast Alaska Island communities, now in House District 5, shifting away from the Southeast districts because of the region's dropping population numbers. Late last week, Republican and Democratic parties and a nonpartisan group, Alaskans for Fair Redistricting, presented plans they said were balanced and fair to the Alaska Redistricting Board. That group has until mid-April to submit a preliminary plan for adjusting the boundaries of the 40 legislative districts. That realignment happens every 10 years following the census. The proposed plans attempt to group like-minded communities and make the biggest adjustments to Southeast and the interior. The nonpartisan group, which includes Native groups, nonprofit organizations, and labor unions, have posted a 60-page report with maps and more details to akfairredistricting.com. The board is taking testimony throughout the state and hopes to release a proposed plan by April 12th. The last hearing held near the Northern Lynn Canal was in Juneau in late March. Although it was held in an urban community, much of the testimony focused on the potential loss of rural or native representation. Juneau's pre-plan hearing was all afternoon and early evening at the state capitol on March 25th. Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello says the assembly will submit their own suggested map that'll include moving the northern boundary of downtown District 3 to take in part of District 4's valley population.
In essence, has the effect of keeping the current House District whole, but having to go north, so that the remainder of the population of the existing House District 4 would be combined with population found outside of the boundaries of the city and borough of Juneau.
But Juneau resident Tom Boutin objected.
I see that as an entirely transparent attempt to dilute the growing strength of working people in the Lemon Creek and Mendenhall Valleys. That growing strength is derived in no small part to the two large mines that have developed here. Believe me, natural resources people and people who make their living producing commodities and materials to sell from Alaska to the world bring a different perspective to Juneau, one very much welcomed by me.
And Shelley Wright of the Southeast Conference says they want smaller communities kept together. She says Haines has already made it clear they want no part of a Juneau district.
My president, Jan Hill, the mayor of Haines, asked me to point that out to you today, that they did pass their resolution.
Indeed, Haines has already taken a step by passing a resolution that shows the borough's interest in keeping with like-minded rural communities. Skagway and Haines have also agreed to work together on a similar joint resolution. Haines Mayor Jan Hill at the most recent Haines Assembly meeting.
In Haines, it appeared that we're growing, and that's a good thing, but our region isn't, and we're a part of a region that's declining, so that's a concern. As you are all aware, because of the census count, it's highly likely we are going to be part of a different district when we go to vote next time. I plan to participate in as many of these meetings as I can. We need to pay attention. They're already drawing proposed maps, we could end up being a suburb of Juneau or a part of the interior and part of Yakutat, or we could be lumped in with Sitka, or who knows. So I will give you updates as soon as I have them. This is going to be critical for the Haines Borough.
Former CBJ Assembly member and Deputy Mayor Randy Wanamaker advocated against incorporating other nearby smaller communities into Juneau-centered district.
I'm afraid that if they become part of the Juneau community, their interests will be submerged in the greater whole of Juneau. As a former member of the Assembly and a member of the Native community, I can tell you that in spite of our numbers in this community, it's difficult to have your interests understood and considered.
That framed the theme of the other half of testimony that day, less on proposed individual boundaries of Juneau districts and more on preserving the voice of natives, the largest minority in the state. Angoon Mayor Albert Howard says they would be better represented in the legislature with someone who understands their issues.
The needs of our community is different than the needs of the city and borough of Juneau or the city and the city of Petersburg or the city of Ketchikan. It's hard for us to explain our needs compared to the needs of these communities. We can never understand what the city and borough of Juneau needs, so we wouldn't expect them to understand our needs.
Skagway business owner Jan Rentmore acknowledged that her community is not predominantly native like other southeast villages, but they face many of the same social and economic issues.
We don't deserve to get lumped into the suburbs of any large community. That would totally extinguish the native voice.
Juneau's Rosita Worrell of the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and Sea Alaska Corporation encouraged the board not to follow in the footsteps of constitutional framers and ignore the native perspective.
They really believed in that we should have equality for all, but not recognizing that we could have equality while recognizing diversity.
Albert Kukesh of Angoon says he made the point of changing out of his suit and tie worn in the state Senate and into his black village clothes to testify before the board. He expects this will be his last term. Kukesh says Alaska Natives lack a champion to help preserve the diversity of opinion in the legislature.
Once you do this, once this district loses that seat, it'll never come back. It'll never come back. You'll never see another House district in Southeast Alaska or a Senate district in Southeast Alaska that has a predominantly Alaska Native flavor to it. And that concerns me.
Lillian Woodbury of Angoon was also worried about her community getting stuck in a Juneau or Sitka-based district.
As a parent, as a Tlingit, I have that concern. And I hope that you will take into consideration that the rural voice needs to be heard. It's very important. And right now, with Senator Kukesh and Representative Thomas, we have that voice there. And once it's taken away, I don't believe we'll ever get it back. And that, to me, is very real.
Byron Mallett is a former Yakutat and Juneau mayor and a member of an earlier redistricting board. He suggested it's possible to redraw boundaries so that a sixth of the House seats in which Natives, although no longer a majority in those districts, would still exert a significant influence. It could mean incorporating disparate racial, tribal, and language groups.
I would not have made such a suggestion if I did not believe that Native groups, regardless of their racial characteristics or their traditions or their cultures or their language groupings or even their economic and social interests, cannot transcend those and work together in whatever relationships that they find themselves in the state today. We see it every day across the state, Native groups working one with the other, economically, socially, programs, funding. We see people sharing.
The redistricting board has also had public hearings in Ketchikan, Fairbanks, Kotzebue, and Bethel. A statewide teleconference took place late last week before the redistricting board sat down for an intense 2 weeks of drawing a preliminary map. It must be done by April 16th. It's hoped that those maps are in place before next year's election campaigns for the legislature. That'll depend on a review by the U.S. Department of Justice and any lawsuits. Unrecognized Southeast Alaska Native groups are still seeking inclusion in the Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971, which gave millions of acres, $1 billion, and the right to form hundreds of Native corporations to the state's indigenous people. Legislation introduced by Congressman Don Young on Friday would allow Native residents of Haines, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Tenneke, and Wrangell to each organize a village or urban corporation. The groups were left out of the nearly 40-year-old act, and Congress-directed research has never determined a reason why.
I'd be honest with you, if I could get more land into private ownership, I would do it in a heartbeat.
In a visit to Haines late last month, Young responded to constituent questions about his interest in landless legislation for Southeast Native groups.
And for those in the room that don't agree with me, fine. But show me where the federal government managed their lands fairly and even well. They don't. Their idea of management is exclusion.
Earlier bills like this one were met with opposition from environmental groups, which did not have issue with the formation of corporations or granting startup money, but with transferring of forest lands without providing provisions on what corporations can do with the land. The landless natives, who have also called themselves the left-outs, amount to about one-fifth of Sea Alaska shareholders. Turkey burger products distributed in Alaska are being recalled for possible salmonella contamination. The Jenny O Turkey Store is recalling 4-pound boxes of Jenny O raw turkey burgers with a use-by date of December 23rd of this year. The State Department of Environmental Conservation says there have been no reported illnesses associated with the recalled products in Alaska, but the USDA Food Service and Inspection Service has determined there is a link between the recalled turkey and people in other states affected by salmonella. Salmonella can cause serious infections and symptoms like fever, diarrhea, vomiting, and abdominal pain. People with these symptoms should contact a healthcare provider. To help prevent salmonella and other foodborne infections, DEC suggests washing hands with warm, soapy water for at least 20 seconds before and after handling raw meat and poultry, and to cook poultry like turkey burger to 165 degrees. More information on the recall is at Jenny O's or DEC's website. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS. Go ahead, call the newsroom anytime. Just dial 983-2853 or 766-2020.